Live from Los Angeles, it's the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we're
tonight's guest, author of Ghosts of Greystone,
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky where the stars have always shined.
And musical guest, Billy Kent. I am Mark Leger, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. I am such a fan of both our guest and our musical guests. Our guest I've known for quite a while. We had the pleasure of interviewing him on the show before, and he's since become a friend. I know he's been friends with Mark, and as has his brother. It's interesting how we've known each other for so long, and all of a sudden I learn of a book that came out. I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to look at it. The book is called Ghosts of Greystone. And I thought, my first thought was, oh no, it came out around Halloween. We could have had this show around Halloween, would have been perfect. And then, of course, we didn't because it was after Halloween. But I then thought, well, wait a minute. Why am I falling into this ghosts around Halloween business? I mean, ghosts aren't just about Halloween and just don't just happen at Halloween. And if we're having a serious conversation, then I'd rather not have it at Halloween when it's like, oh, let's talk about ghosts. No, let's have a real conversation. I'm glad it's not on Halloween. And here we are actually almost a month later. And we're going to have a conversation about something from a guy that I know, we know, we've had many conversations on many subjects before, very intelligent guy. I am interested in his perspective. Not only am I a fan of theirs, but I'm believing what's being shared here. And I can't wait to share this information and see what we all can believe together or not. When we have our guest Cleet Keith on, and a little later on, the music of Billy Kent, all on the Life Changes Show, at home edition, after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's PhiBeads.com. You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at LifeChangesShow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
So we're back. I am Depot Online with Mark Lejeur.
I am so excited for tonight's conversation. I've had the benefit of knowing Cleet and his brother Chris for a long time, as you mentioned, and they've been friends at the Life Changes show. But I've also had personal experiences at Greystone, and to see and feel what's coming through. You know, we're taught to listen, or we're taught by TV, and I think when we start to actually tune into what we're really feeling and what we're really personally experiencing, there's a whole world that opens up. So I'm excited for tonight's conversation.
Well, let's open up that world. Not too much, I hope. But we're calling this Experiencing Life Beyond Normal. So far, what I've learned about this book, everything is beyond normal in it. Our guest is a writer, director, and author of Ghosts of Greystone, Beverly Hills. Cleet, Keith, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're great, and we're excited about this because it's coming from you. And not only do we know you, but you have been in and around Greystone in many different ways with many different hats on for how many years now?
It's 22 years. Yeah,
22 years. Mm-hmm. And when did you start experiencing things, or when did you start feeling something?
Well, the first thing that happened to me, because I hadn't planned on working there, it came about, and suddenly I was hired by the city of Beverly Hills to help with their events throughout the city, art shows and all these different events. But then I was based out of Greystone. So there's a place called the Gatehouse on that property. And when I first started there, I heard that they were filming a Sprite commercial up there. And I went, ooh, I want to go see how they're doing that up there, because I was into film, had done film. And so I walked up to the West Courtyard just outside the Grand Entry. And this guy came running out of the building. And he was swearing, which I won't do. And he just ran and left the property. And I went to the other ranger. I said, what was that about? And what had happened was they were treating the property horribly. And this was back in, I'm going to say like 1999. Back then, the ranger program was relatively new. So the ranger that was on that day did not really know exactly how to handle all this. So he had a bunch of crew and cameras and things, and they were throwing stuff around, and it's a historical site. And so he had no control. He lost all the control. And I guess that guy who ran out of the building was upstairs on the second floor, and he was putting cables away in these like milk crates that they use, and was throwing stuff down. And I guess one of the crates just moved right across the floor, all the way across the room in front of him. Mm. And that was it for him.
Okay.
He ran out of the building.
I get it. Okay. So, yeah. So when you talk about the building, and we're talking about Greystone in Beverly Hills, now that's a name that's been given to it, but it actually is more better known as.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure what your question is. If it's,
well,
it's
actually better known as Greystone Mansion.
Yeah, it's a mansion. It's Greystone Mansion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it really is the Doheny Estate, right?
Right, correct. So they call it the Greystone Mansion, the Greystone Mansion / Doheny Estate. And yeah, it was, there was Edward L. Doheny, who was a oil man who came in the early, late 1800s, early 1900s, found oil in L.A., went down to Mexico, made his fortune, came back and bought 429 acres in that area, which is now Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. And of that 429 acres, he gave his son Ned a 12.58 parcel as a wedding gift. And on that parcel, he built this 46,000 square foot, 55 room mansion. And that was in 1927. So,
and
Ned married a woman named Lucy, that he'd met a while back, they had kids, five kids, and they lived, actually, their first place where they lived was next door to his dad, Edward L. Doheny, on Chester Place near USC. They lived at, Edward L. lived at Chester, 8 Chester Place, and Ned lived at 10 Chester Place. And then once they came into the money like that, then Ned thought it was a good idea to go up and build his own house up there. And the father, of course, helped pay for it because he was the one who had all the money. But it was, in essence, Ned's home. And they started building it in 1927.
And Ned had a personal assistant named?
Hugh Plunkett was his personal his assistant. They were friends back when, I think when they were teenagers. So they knew each other for quite some time. Hugh worked at a filling station, they called it back then. And they had become friends and ended up, once Ned got in a prominence, he pulled his friend in and he became basically his secretary to do all the things overseeing the property.
So I'm asking Cleet these questions because this cast of characters will become even more prominent as the story goes on. And a little later on in the show, we might actually have some recordings of these actual characters speaking from not so long ago, even though they've been dead for many, many years. And the circumstances by which how they died are quite interesting as well. So we're going to jump into all of those stories that most of which, or many of which, Cleet has experienced himself, or all of them, right? Everything he wrote about, you experienced in some way, right, Cleet?
Well, what I experienced was, the thing was that I did put some of my experiences within the book, but the majority of the book are people from all over that used to work there, that visited, that still work there, rangers, a lot of rangers, because they have access to get inside the house. So that's how I got the majority of those. And it's 80, I think it came out to be 83 different interviews with over 230 stories from all these people that I gathered over a period of 3 years.
Very, very cool. So when we come back, we're going to delve into a couple of those stories. We might actually have time to hear some sounds from the house and more conversation with Cleet Keith, and a little later on, live music with Billy Kent, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They are dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include influencers such as author Ariel Ford, business luminary Nolan Bushnell, and actress Dee Wallace on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Please send any comments or questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, and we're talking with Cleet Keith, who wrote Ghosts of Greystone. And Cleet, let me ask you this. Did you believe in ghosts, or did you believe in the paranormal activity before you started having any of these experiences or conversations?
No, I didn't. And by the way, who would name their child Cleet Keith? I mean, let's get through that first. That's the biggest haunting of it all. No, I did not. I didn't believe in it. And the first time I'd ever even thought about something about ghosts were my parents had to go up to Cambria. I think it's called, or Cambria Pines, up in Northern California, to clean out a house because my great uncle, his name was Wes, had cancer, and he was with his wife Margie, and he was in bed one night, and he couldn't take the pain anymore. She didn't know this. He snuck out of bed, sat on his porch, and looked out at the ocean, and shot himself in the head. And oh. So. Wow. Once that happened, and then later on, she had a stroke, so my parents were going to sell her house to get money for her care. And when they went up there, and it's like kind of an isolated little place, they went up there cleaning out the garage. There were three knocks at the front door, so my dad went out there, and there was nobody there. And he went back, and he said, "You heard that, right?" She goes, "Oh, yeah. There's nobody there." Well, they're probably the kids playing or something around the neighborhood. Went back, started working, and minutes later, three more knocks. He went out to the front, came back in, said, "There's nobody there. Let's go." He wasn't. Mm. He wasn't into it at all. He was. My mom kind of had the gift, the sense of things, and she knew it was Uncle Wes. And so when they told me that story, that was the first time I'd ever even thought of ghosts. I went, "What? What are you talking about?" So there were several stories, but that was the first one.
So I haven't had the pleasure of reading the whole book yet, but one of the senses I get from reading your book is that you didn't step into this necessarily a believer looking for proof of this or what have you. And on the other end of this, you're kind of saying, hey, this exists and there's more to our normal that's beyond our normal, right?
That's exactly right. So when I thought of writing this book, it's because I knew that pretty soon I'd be retiring, which is going to be this Friday, by the way, December 4th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll be out of after 22 years. And this was 3 years ago, and I thought, I just want to write down, just for my friends who are still going to be there, I'll write down my stories that I heard about. And then I said, well, maybe I should get Steve's story because he has some interesting. And then that kept going and going and going. And I wrote all these stories and interviewed tons of people for this. And it wasn't like, you know, it's hard for me to be a believer. I'm still have that skeptic. So the book is approached in that way, saying, well, wait a minute. So tell me what did you see? And well, how is that even possible? Tell me what you're thinking. What do you think it was?
So but before we go more into it, speaking of what did you see, let's start with what did you hear? So, Doug, if you have it queued up, could we play the first track you have, which is 01 National Treasure 2, and then you can tell us what we're hearing, Cleet. Mm-hmm. Or is it queued up? Hold on. It's not queued up yet. So, So before hearing, let's talk about seeing. So tell us something else that was seen.
Well, I mean, there's a woman in the book named Andrea Flores who helps clean the location. So you have to have people come there and clean the public restrooms and all that. And it's always at night because people are there during the day, so they clean at night. And she has had the most horrific things that she has seen. She entered the property down at the south end of the property and started in. She was with another woman, and she looked up on the front. There's a hill. There's a lawn that goes up toward the mansion. And she said, she called me, and she was shaking and saying, there was a dark shadow on that hill. And she said, I was getting like these goosebumps from being just scared, but from the energy off of this thing. And it was evil. You could see it. It had red eyes and it's like kind of floating, and it's on the grass as she's driving in. So she pointed elsewhere so her friend didn't see it, because she would, her friend would flip out. And that's just, I mean, a tip of the iceberg of what goes on there. That's not even in the mansion.
Did she continue to work there?
She's still there. I saw her today.
My God. Maybe yeah. Ask, like, why would you stay?
Because she says that she has the gift, by the way. And most people that have the gift, these spirits will come out and show themselves. They'll come out and they'll talk to them because they can see that that person has a gift. How they see it, I've been told it's an aura. So if they see me in the house, they know I don't have the aura. But I've brought people in just on a tour, just happenstance, like two women from Norway. I brought them in. The one had the gift. I didn't know it. And she was touched, and a spirit came out and like did a peekaboo thing with her, and she flipped out, and I had to get her out of the house, and she was shaking. But for me, I don't have the gift. They don't come out for me. They don't see that I can connect with them.
Well, so we're ready to play the clip now, and then let's talk about it after we hear it. Doug, go ahead. Thanks. Now, I heard a gunshot and then a lot of noise.
Okay, so let me set that up for what that was, because it didn't really come out the way it is. There's a guy named Peter Devlin. He's an Academy Award sound guy and mixer, and he was there that night shooting National Treasure 2. He put his cart away up in the stairs right by where there's a portal, which he didn't know, put his cart there, and left it on because he loves to hear old sounds just to see what he would catch, and left. The next morning we showed up, we get in, he takes his cart, goes into the room to set up for the day, and I see him put his headphones on. He looks over at me like, and I just went, oh my God, something happened to this guy. And he goes, come here a minute. And so, and he put the headphones on me, and at 12:58, what you hear on the recording, our footsteps at the beginning, we didn't hear that because it's too, it's hard to hear it on radio.
Yeah,
there are footsteps, and then you hear what's called layout board. When you do shooting and you have a floor that you want to keep preserved, you put out these huge, like 4x8 pieces of cardboard, which are called layout board. So layout board is picked up and thrown against the wall, and then you hear cases, like camera cases, are what you heard that last part. Bam, bam. There was no gunshot. It sounds like it, but it's not. And so it was obviously equipment that was pushed. But once it's over, there are no footsteps, no nothing walking away from that sound. So I should have opened up in the morning to let the crew in, and I should have seen somebody standing right there, and there was nobody there.
Because the recording kept recording.
Exactly, all night.
So Doug, maybe we can hear that again now that we know more.
There you go. That's it.
And the rest of it leading up to that and after that was just silence.
Silence.
Wow.
And so like how did they, it's pretty bizarre because that's pretty loud. It's really loud actually.
Okay, so we're not going to play it, but I do have a couple sounds of a gunshot, and Doug doesn't have it. So we're not going to play it, but I have a question about that. How, if a ghost is able to somehow energetically or whatever, magnetically or something, be able to pick something up and throw it, that okay, my mind can kind of go there. But my mind, I don't know how can a ghost potentially recreate the sound of a gun?
Well, here are my feelings about that. I don't think they're recreating anything. I think what's happening is that mansion, which is, again, 55 rooms, 46,000 square feet, is fronted on the outside by Indiana limestone. Limestone is a conductor, and you guys know that because you deal with a lot of gems and all stuff. Limestone is a conductor of energy. And so my feeling is, and Stephen King wrote The Shining at the Stanley Hotel, which is built on limestone, and that place is off the charts haunted. I think what happened was, I think the events of that night where there was a murder-suicide and gunshots, I think are imprinted within the walls of that building. And you could be walking in there. Mark was in there with me one time. You could be walking in there and not hear it, but your recorder, which picks up different decibels and things that we can't hear, will pick that up. And I have to tell you, Filippo, I've put my recorder in there hundreds of times, and there has never been one night where I didn't hear a door close, a gunshot, a slam, a voice. It's astounding. It's really astounding.
So speaking of voices, Doug, you have 04 and 05, if we can play those now, and then you can tell us, Cleve, what we heard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
So I'm asking, I'm there at night with another ranger. It's late. We're in the living
room.
That's
you.
That's me talking. It's late. It's dark. And I brought in a spirit box, they call it, which I didn't think really worked. I thought it was a crock. You know, I saw it on the television shows. And I went, you know, I'll buy one. And then I'll see if it really works. So I took the spirit box in the living room with me with another ranger named Dan Hernandez. We walked inside there. And I said, Dan, you hold the recorder. I'm going to try this little box and let's see what we get. And when I said, is there anybody in here with this? If you're here, would you come close to this? See this little red light? Come close to me and say, is there anybody here? And you'll hear it say, Ned. So it says Ned, clear as day. And then I look at Dan. I go, did he just say Ned? And then the next thing that happens is, the next voice, I said, I think it's been cut out because it was a longer version. I said to Ned, I mean, said to Dan, I think he just said Ned. Ned, if that was you, would you come closer and do that again, please? And a different voice, you'll hear Hugh.
Right. Actually, let's hear that again before we go to break at 04 and 05, if we can, Doug. Dad, if you... it's hard to hear over the air, but people could play it back when it's in archive. Mm-hmm. You definitely hear something, and it doesn't sound like it doesn't sound like you.
That's not me. Yeah.
So. Fascinating. We'll talk a little more when we come back. I think we have one more clip we're gonna get to hear. The book is Ghosts of Greystone, Greystone Beverly Hills Dramatic Eyewitness Accounts. One more time. Ghosts of Greystone Beverly Hills Dramatic Eyewitness Accounts. How was that reading, Cleet?
It was almost like my name. All right, just so you know.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Cleet a little more, maybe even Ned and Hugh, I don't know. But at least we're going to find out a little bit more about them when we come back. In the next segment, we're also going to have our Ask Dorothy question. And then after that, our musical guest will be joining us, Billy Kent, all on the Life Changes Show, At Home Edition, after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery.
In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Boltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, and we're talking with Cleet Keith, Ghosts of Greystone. As a matter of fact, the book is available where books are sold, but Ghosts of Greystone, GREYstone.com, is where you can find out more about Cleet, more about the book, etc. It's also available on Instagram and Facebook, and we have their links on our page for Cleet Keith on the LifeChangesShow.com website. And Cleet, so we don't have to get into their story. It's in the book. But evidently, Hugh and Ned got hurt.
that's somebody else to say.
They got hurt more.
Yeah, somebody got hurt. It was they think it was all tied into the Teapot Dome scandal, which is. Goes back into the 20s and 30s, and Teapot Dome, Wyoming, is an oil reserve. And Albert Fall, who was the Secretary of the Interior, once they were in office, allowed Harry Sinclair, and he has gas stations out here, and Edward L. Doheny to have access to. Harry had Teapot Dome, and Edward L. Doheny had Elk Hills and Buena Vista Naval Reserve oil. They didn't do any bidding from other companies. He just gave it to them, which made them millions and millions when a penny meant something back then. Mm. Edward then sent Hugh and Ned to New York, went into the bank, got $100,000 cash, put it in a satchel, and it was delivered to Albert Fall. So once Albert Fall received that money, it wasn't too long after that, because he started living this lavish lifestyle, that he was basically caught having taken that, what they called a bribe. Edward L. Doheny said it was a loan, a gift. And so they went to trial, and Albert Fall was convicted and sent to prison for a year. Now they're going to go after Edward L. Doheny, but they thought what they'd do is they go after Hugh and Ned, who gave him the money, and then try to get their father through Hugh and Ned. And they say that Hugh was a very soft-spoken, quiet guy that they didn't think could handle the court proceedings. So they tried to talk him into going to a sanatorium for cocaine. And back then they used cocaine for teeth problems. And he said no. He didn't think that they would let him out. And he was afraid that he was going to take the rap for this whole thing. So he and Ned had an argument, they believe, on that night of February 16th, 1929. And it's said that Hugh had a gun, went into a room in which Ned was sitting, and had an argument. They'd been drinking, and both men were dead by the end of the night, both shot in the head. Now, everybody said it was Hugh who went crazy and shot Ned. I really disagree. I just don't feel that's the case. And it very well could be, but I don't believe it is. There's a book out called Me Detective by Leslie White, who talks about that evening. Well, a very good friend of mine is a man named Clark Fogg, who is a forensic guy who works for the city of Beverly Hills, who was recently retired. And he said, Cleet, all the stuff in that book, that's not how they do forensics. It's him making himself sound better. I don't believe it's true. That being the case, after the murder suicides, and the papers, the Times, came out with all these remarks and showing a whole graphic drawing as to where they were standing and what happened. And it wasn't accurate at all. It made Mrs. Doheny on the far side of the building, which wasn't true. She was right next to them. So once that took place, then I believe what happened was after it was swept under the rug within 24 hours, nobody talked about it again. It was done. It was a huge scandal, huge. And so in burying Ned, they didn't bury him with the family in the same family area where they had their plots. And Hugh is like 30 yards away down a hill. And my point about that is, very Catholic family, if you commit suicide, that is a sin. So he wasn't buried with the family because, in essence, it was a sin. Hugh, 30 yards away, if Filippo, if I killed you, I doubt your family would say, you know, put Cleet right over there. First of all, they couldn't say my name anyway. But put Cleet right over there, near Filippo. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So it never has been tied up. We don't know exactly what took place. We've had mediums come in. And in fact, I had there was a medium that came in 2 weeks ago, really good medium who's been on television. She came in, sat with her, had an evening, and through her work, it came out that Ned didn't shoot Hugh, Hugh didn't shoot Ned, that Lucy might have involved, the wife might have been involved somehow. Now,
wow, cue the music.
Da-da. Exactly. So the reason they say that is there were rumors and probably truths that Ned and Hugh had a relationship. Now, Ned was shot in what's called the South guest room, in his like pajamas and a smoking jacket, and that those photos are online if you care to see them. They're pretty gruesome. They're in the book as well, but it's pretty gruesome. And so he's in that room, which sometimes was Hugh's room. So what is the truth? Were they having a relationship? She caught them. When they talk about the bullets in the head, they're placed almost exactly where each person was shot. So Ned's bullet is right by the temple in the ear, and so is Hugh's. And so how is that possible? I mean, did Ned get up and walk over to him and put the gun right to his head? I don't think he'd do it. You know, he would stop him. It just doesn't make sense. The whole thing doesn't make sense.
You know, one of the things that didn't make sense to me, and we're going to have to wrap up with this, but you said something really cool, and I thought, oh, that's interesting, because it sounds like there are a lot of other stories. That's the main story. But then there are all these other stories, all these other people. And it's like, wait a minute. No, these people didn't even live there. So why are there are ghosts there? Why are this? And you said that something opened up maybe on that night.
Mm-hmm. That night, I believe, a portal opened, which is like a doorway to spirits to come into that house. And I think it opened up and more spirits came in. We know of two other maids that committed suicide within the home. Another one was a woman who worked there was strangled, killed, and another man shot himself in the head on 2003 out by the Willow Pond. I was there that day. So did the spirits cause the killings, or did the killings cause the spirits? We don't know.
And you know, one of the things that I was hoping we'd have time for, and we don't, but I'm going to put it out there for us to explore somehow in the future with that if this exists there, and you say some people have the gifts, you actually said on the phone with me that we all are able to in some way connect to that, that if we're out and about in other places, that we might feel where is a place that we might want to stay away from, where energy is a certain way, or a place where we might want to be if energy is good.
No question. And yeah.
And I know that energy is great when you and I get to connect, and Mark and Dorothy, and I hope soon with all of you. I was hoping to do it at Greystone Mansion, but I guess that's not going to happen before Friday.
No, not before Friday. It won't. Once the COVID clears, maybe we can work something out.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, happy retirement. Congratulations on the book. I know it's doing well already. Which is a blessing. So ghostsofgraystone.com. Cleet Keith is the author, and what a pleasure this has been to have you as a guest again, Cleet.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much. Love Dorothy and Mark as well, and God bless everybody.
And all the best to you. Thank you. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Dear Dorothy, this is Martha from South Dakota. I had several sessions with you when I lived in Los Angeles and was very impressed with your intuitive abilities. I remember you telling me that I'm also highly intuitive, and I dismissed that piece of information as not being true for me. However, my family often asks me how I know some of the things I share with them, and I don't satisfy their curiosity when I say I just know and I don't know how I know. Is this what you were referring to as me being highly intuitive? If so, how do I further develop this gift?
Hi, Martha. It is good to hear from you. And yes, this is what I was sharing with you. All of us have the divine gift of intuition, and some of us have just developed it further than others. There are many ways you can develop your natural gift of intuition. One of the ways I was able to tune in more quickly was by studying Jose Silva and reading his book titled Silva Mind Control Method. His courses are now called the Silva Method, probably because they didn't want people to think of it as mind control. However, the book is about how each of us can take more control over our thoughts and how to tune in more effectively to find the answers we seek. You can easily find websites referring to Silva's methods and articles as to how to develop your intuition. If you look, you will find so much free guidance on the internet concerning the Silva method. And if you choose to follow the instructions and practice, you can develop your intuition rather quickly. There are also many books and courses offered for you to choose from. I have several clients who studied with Silva years ago, and they are amazingly intuitive. A few of them have used his techniques to discern what is going on in other people's bodies and the bodies of their clients. One of the methods that is suggested is to ask questions and then begin writing the first thoughts that come to mind. And I really like the results I get when I do this. I trust that you will find the guidance you are seeking to better connect with your gift of intuition.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
That's so funny. And with that, we will be right back with our musical guest, Billy Kent, on the Life Changes Show at Home edition right after this. Thank you. We are back. I am Filippo, and our musical guest is singer-songwriter Billy Kent. Billy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is fun.
It's a pleasure having you. Yeah, this song has been a departure, and actually, I mean, the show has already been a departure for us, and actually, this segment's going to be a departure, too, because we're going to go real deep, real fast with a statement you make and hold very true to your heart. Could you please explain how, yes, music saves lives, it saved mine?
Unconsciously, back in the early days of, well, from 1 to 10, family divorced at 10, and then I kind of got off the chain and became just all over the map. And luckily, by 7th grade, I started learning guitar, and that's what gave me something to focus on. And by 10th grade, I started writing words. I did try to audition for a band in the 10th grade, but I missed the audition. I didn't get the part. So I was forced to go home, and I already knew how to play rhythm guitar, but I needed words because I really wanted to sing. I have been singing since the 3rd grade. And so unconsciously, I was becoming a songwriter. I didn't know it till 10 years later, but I ended up just writing my own songs. And obviously, you write about what, you know, whatever makes you feel better, and not knowing it, but that was kind of keeping me focused and healing me at the same time. Not until I was 26 did I realize I was a songwriter. In fact, I was on a little mountaintop in Arrowhead, and was a Big Bear, and I said, I've come to realize from striving so hard to be that I am. And that was in relation to recognizing the fact that I was a singer-songwriter when I was like 26. So it's just... It's been like this ever since. Just music has just been a way to keep me, you know, from all the chaos of, you know, my earlier years.
Wow. And interesting, the story about missing the band audition or what have you.
Yeah.
But you ended up working with one of the biggest bands in the world.
Yeah, luckily, you know, that's how. Yeah, so I was such a huge fan. I mean, not many fans get their songs covered by them, but I was a diehard fan. I met them all 1977 backstage, and then we started hanging out for the next 7 years. Next thing you know, Greg Adams, Horn Arranger, heard a tune of mine. He dug it, and he surprised me 3 weeks later. He left a message on my phone, hey, check this out. It was my song, Baby's Got the Power, and they played that. They recorded like three more altogether.
Nice. Well, you've worked with so many other people, and you've done so much. Did you also write a book of poems?
Yeah, well, I did have a motorcycle accident in 2015, and when I got home after the hospital, and I'm looking around, and I realized I've been doing music almost 40 years. And it's just a real sad feeling, felt like, wait a minute, I mean, I don't really have it all. I got songs published, but like all these songs I've been writing, and that, I says, you know what, I don't want it to just be dust in the wind. So I started organizing a book of all my song lyrics, and I wrote like a 12-page little autobiography and poetry, and I put this book together called Pieces of a Lifetime, Poetry and Song. It hasn't been released yet, but it's on my website, billykent.com, and it just gave me a chance to corral my life of music, and it feels good. It took about 2.5 years to do this, and $14,000. It wasn't cheap.
Yeah. But,
You know, but I'm glad I did that. And now I'm just going to spend the rest of my life promoting, you know, the songs and looking for other artists, you know, adding on the fact that, you know, recording my stuff. So some good things are happening.
Good. And we're so glad that you're our musical guest tonight. And I can't wait for people to hear your music. It's kind of like a throwback and a throw forward. Like you sound very today, and there's something nostalgic about it. I don't know how to describe it.
Very nicely said. Nicely said. I'm all about the old school, new school, and I have a new single coming out called You and I. It's not, you know, it's just about done, but it's totally that. It's an old school song done with a new feel, and it totally represents what you just said. You know, that's a big part of me. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I know you're doing two songs from a particular album. What's the album? What's the first song you're going to do?
Yeah, the album I did, it was called Pieces of a Lifetime, Volume 1, and that came out in 2018, 2019. And the song tonight would be Shallow Wind, and the second one would be Ruler of My Heart. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk in between the two songs, but we're going to get to hear Billy Kent performing from Pieces of a Lifetime, Volume 1. Here is him performing live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition online, Shallow End.
All right, here we go. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. Am I running, am I hiding from the love I always wanted? I don't know. Sometimes I just don't know. And then I get this feeling from the warmth of your glow. Ooh, yeah. I can't believe I almost drowned. Shallow end. I can't believe I almost drowned in the shallow end of your soul. Is this a serial lover situation? Got your game on. Just don't get left alone. You're so good, I'm like an orphan waking up on Christmas morn in a new home. You, I thought I found a home. I can't believe I almost drowned. Shallow end. I can't believe I almost drowned in the shallow end of your soul. I know we get tangled when our minds fight, when our minds fight. So many angles, and it really don't matter who's wrong or right. I guess it really don't matter who's wrong or right. I can't believe I almost drowned in the shallow end. I can't believe I almost drowned. Shallow end of your soul. Shallow end. Shallow end of your soul.
Thank you, Billy Kent. And as he mentioned, BillyKent.com. And of course, you can follow him on social media as well. He's on Facebook. Billy, I have to tell this quick funny story that we were doing a sound check. I don't know if it's this song or the one after, but you said, "Hey, Filippo, tell me how this sounds." We were looking for a balance and all that. So you start singing and I'm listening and I'm grooving along with the music. And then you stop and I'm like, "Why do you stop?" And you're like, "How did it sound?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to be listening to how it sounded great." I just got lost.
It's funny. Yeah, you know, I probably should give myself a little bit more love and just like, but you know, who knows? Can I say something, a little trivia on the story you had, the gentleman talking about the Greystone Mansion?
Greystone Mansion?
Yeah. A little trivia, but Ned Doheny, which in the 70s and 80s, Ned, I think, wrote a song for Tower Power. This might be the great-grandson, but is a guitarist, and he also wrote a song for Chaka Khan. Ned Doheny, I remember seeing him back in the late 70s, early 80s. So if you look up Ned Doheny, singer-songwriter, he's a great singer himself, guitar player, and he wrote with Chaka Khan, a big hit, and he might have had a Tower Power song in there too, Ned Doheny.
Oh, that's so interesting.
I wonder if it's a great-grandson, Ned, because he's the family. I know he's with the Doheny family, Ned.
Well, that will be fascinating. We'll have to look that up, and if you're still listening, Cleet, look that up. It could be the ghost writing the songs. obviously, since he's around. Who knows? How interesting is that? So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And I have to say, with your music, I know that you like bringing joy to listeners and sometimes even a tear when they connect with the lyrics and all that. Do you get a lot of people sharing with you how your music touches them?
You know, that's what I learned, and Marvin Gaye did it for me and Joni Mitchell, but through Hard Times, also James Taylor. But what I learned about when music's healing, it's when you find yourself listening to the same song over and over. You might be going through a hard time, and you've listened to the same artist over and over. They're kind of healing you. And I remember a story of a blues guy used to be on Venice Boardwalk back in the 80s. He passed on since. And I remember in the book about him, he talked about how this lady was listening to him. And as he was singing, he had a beautiful voice, this guy. She comes up behind him. And as he's singing, she whispered, "Don't stop, you're healing me," you know. But wow, I think the power of music and finding those artists or that song or that lyric. I think with James Taylor going through a hard time, I kept hearing him say this: "The secret to life is enjoying the passing of time." You know, I just got stuck with me, and I take it that's his lyric, however it was in a song. And it's, you know, the clever, simple lines that mean a lot, you know.
Well, you know, actually what you just said means a lot, period, and means a lot more nowadays while people are watching time go by with everything going on in their lives. And and so I'm really glad that we kept up the show, that people like you have joined us to help bring this to them, some interesting stories and music. And so thank you for being a part of this. And we get to hear Ruler of My Heart, right?
Yeah. Okay. You know, it's funny. A quick poem, we talk about that this generation now is like the me generation, me. And I come from the we generation, you know. Back in the day, it was all about what are we going to do? And it's funny, we're getting back to the we generation because we got to work together. But just a thought there. All right, this song's called Ruler of My Heart.
Okay, so here's Billy Kent. He is performing live, unplugged. And we should probably say, these songs on your... Because I've seen you perform like with big band and all that. So are these songs on the CD, they're with your band, right?
Totally with on the Pieces of a Lifetime CD. Shallow In and Ruler of My Heart, both are on this CD.
And they're both with big band arrangement?
It's full, you know, full band, yeah.
Yeah.
A simpler version, piano, vocal, with just a small rhythm section on Ruler of My Heart.
Well, we get to hear Billy Kent live unplugged online. Here is Ruler of My Heart on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
All right. Out here on my own, mountains of emotions. Every day passes, and every day I try to do my best to right the wrongs. I take my chances on this lonely road. I've fallen so hard. Still I pull myself up. Now I'm on my way to the mountaintop. I believe in a high voice, the ruler of my heart. Ruler of my heart. Shivered on the hottest day, I've melted in the coldest hearts. I've taken more than I've given, still it wasn't enough. Invested in desperation, like a good desperate fool. Invested in seeds that would not grow. Right alone in my empty field, Now I'm on my way to the mountaintop. I believe in a high voice, the ruler of my, ruler of my heart, ruler of my heart. I'm on my way to the mountaintop. I believe in the ruler of my heart. Up to the mountain, up to the mountain, ruler of my heart, ruler of my heart.
This is what I needed to hear today. I don't know about you all. Billy Kent, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Billy, that you have a CD or two out there that also has some covers, right? You have a Frank Sinatra one.
I did this in 2015 before the accident. It was a 100-year anniversary. It came out of Mexico called Oye Frank, and I'm the singer on it.
Nice.
10 of the classics. It's a beautiful record, and it's I don't know, physically it's hard to get maybe, but you know, you could look it up online. They play it on, you know, YouTube, look it up, but some great song, you know, the classics. That was a fun project.
Nice. Well, I'm grateful to Julian Miranda for connecting us and referring you. It's been a pleasure listening to you, getting to know you, and sharing you on our show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, so BillyKent.com. You can also follow him on Facebook. With that, another big thank you to Cleet Keith. And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.